Welcome to Prince Watch, the all-inclusive podcast for the now-released Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince film. Okay, this is our last episode forever today, and with us we have me, Vince, Scott, Britt, and Rachel.
Hi!
Yeah, hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
So,
it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been about, how long? 3-4 months since our... No,
six
longer
months?
Than that. No, 4... 7...
6 months.
Six, 5... Some big number since we last had a show. Now it's been so long. What's our actual thoughts about Half-Blood Prince as a film? Like, to start off, how many times have you seen it now?
9 times in the theater for me.
5, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously, Vince?
Yeah, 9 times in the theater, I swear to God.
No, take it back. 3 or 4.
Yeah,
that's not counting all the bootleg viewing. You know,
I would be quiet about that if I were you.
Yeah, I've only seen it about 3 times in total.
I've only seen it 3 times.
Well, I saw it once in the Omnimax theater, which is like it's different than IMAX. It was pretty could have been really cool, and one part of it was, but the rest of it was kind of hard to see because it was like a rounded screen. But I saw it at the preview or whatever, and then I saw it again. So 3 times.
Yeah,
but you saw it in test screen.
Yeah, the test screening.
That's
right. That was by far the most exciting.
So 5 times for me, only twice.
And the most talked about how viewing it.
Vince takes out the cup for that with the most viewings.
Yeah.
So have anyone's thoughts changed about the film? Like, do we still love it?
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my thoughts
have
changed.
I still love it every much as I did before.
Yeah.
It's definitely my favorite so far.
Absolutely. This is hands down my favorite of the entire series, the film series, seven.
Oh, I like the first two the best, but this is my third. This is the best after the first two.
Better than the first two, in my opinion.
The first two were so close to the book. I think it couldn't go too wrong with that. But like, I think this was a better interpretation. But the first two weren't really interpretations. They were like the book.
Exactly. This one stayed canon while still managing to create a unique cinematic experience.
Yeah, and they've been struggling to do that.
Although my friend who came with me, who only watches the movies, thought that it was far too much dialogue. Like, why I liked it too. But she's like not enough happened, and I was like, well, a lot happened.
I can understand.
Yeah, it was the opposite for my dad, because he saw it with me in theaters. He came back and said, oh, that was tons of action. So.
Wow, really? My dad was kind of bored by it a little bit, with all the romance and the talking, I guess.
But I suppose
it was kind of slow in some places. It was
In the middle at the start, that sort of area. But when you come out,
Burrow Attack brought it down.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. I did not like that edition.
I disagree, actually. I think it looks great, and I think it's
The Burrow Attack?
Yeah.
I thought it was horrible.
Me too.
And it was even worse because they didn't have it set on fire in the screening. Like, they changed that afterwards. And I thought that was horrible.
You probably could have done a better job with it.
Yeah.
It just didn't spoil it. They're like, oh, the Weasley's house burned down, and then they never bring it up again.
Yeah.
Like, where are the Weasley's living?
That was a little weird.
Well, and also, like, Dumbledore is supposed to be, you know, the fact that his death was... besides the loss of, like, someone we love so much, one of the things that was so detrimental, one of the reasons why Voldemort was able to, like, escalate so much following it is because his power was so strong. He wouldn't have let Harry go somewhere where it wasn't strong enough to protect him. You know, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, but the films just don't go that deeply, you know? It's just...
He comes for
the nature of the films. Yeah, they never did. It never will, so I mean, I expect that at this point.
I don't know, I didn't like it. I thought that it was, and it was also just all it was running, and like,
yeah, that,
And they, like, don't even, like, they have, they show Bellatrix and they show Greyback, but they don't explain who Greyback is. It's like, who's this creeper?
It's like Harry running through the reeds, cut to another shot.
Yeah, but they did have that, shot of the wanted poster of,
Yeah, but that wasn't really enough to explain his whole deal.
Yeah, that was not near enough to introduce his character, like, especially since he's bigger in the next one. Like, that was not enough to introduce his character.
Well, this film is just to, set him up, you know.
Yeah, it's like the
Well, and what was the point of the attack? Because it didn't do anything. Like, what?
They even cut his lines. Actually, no, I guess they didn't cut his lines, but they didn't show who was saying it. I was just saying on the tower they cut his lines, but.
Yeah, they actually do have that line in the tower.
Oh, they did cut a couple lines, didn't they? Yeah.
They put a line in the burrow.
Some of the really good lines, like the creepy, disturbing ones about.
Most of the lines in his script, though, made it. In that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say something.
Well, actually, we didn't have the script for that scene, did we?
We did.
Tower scene?
We have it now because it got released
officially. Oh, we have it now. The
full script that was just.
Oh right, I think the script released. Leaks because that's all we were going to
talk about the script for a second. Yeah, because we'd seen all these portions and now we had this whole script. Did anyone else?
I actually haven't read the full script.
Oh, you haven't read it? Yeah, I did. But when I got to the part which we'd seen before, I was like, skip.
I read the whole script.
Did you skip the parts we'd seen read before?
No. No, I didn't. Not skim. But
skim, yeah. Like, I knew it was
going on. Was it all the same?
Was it the same draft of the...
Yeah, I think so. As far as I remember.
Those portions were taken out from that script.
It's been a month, actually, since I read.
The tower scene at the end, at least I was told, was with Ginny, like, at the very end, Ginny was there, and there was a, like, it actually was, well, I don't know, I actually haven't seen all the deleted scenes that were, or I haven't been told, or I didn't watch them because I just didn't feel a need to, it's possible that there's something, I saw one or two, like, I saw the one where, I think I commented on it during the interview, but, like, where it's right before, like, while Harry's at the cave with Dumbledore, and you see, like, the shot of the courtyard and the choir and stuff. And that actually wasn't even a finished scene when I saw it. Right. Apparently they're singing now. And, like, that was all there. And I remember at the time saying it was a great atmospheric moment, but it was so out of place. Like, it didn't make sense. Like you didn't I couldn't understand why Garnagal was saying, like, come on, you know, come on in now. And, like, getting so frantic. Like, what did she couldn't have known anything. So
what
like,
about one of the early scenes that I liked – but, like, it would not have fit in the film at all, and I'm wondering if it was in the test screening. When they, like, did all the mention and talk of the vanishing cabinets, do you remember that?
Very vaguely, yeah. If I saw it, I probably would remember, but I think
it was kind of like they had basically put all the pieces together and it all clicked, and, like, if that had been in the film, I would have been expecting them to take action and do something to try to stop Draco, like, from letting the Death Eaters in. So I think it's good that they cut that, because otherwise it would have just been like, what? Like, they just, you know, didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I really like that scene still, though. Because especially it kind of pays off the presence of those random twins. Because during that scene, Harry sees the twins, and he's like, oh, maybe there's two vanishing cabinets. That's one reason I like it. And the other one is because we see Filch ring the school bell. When we see Filch ring the school bell, and that just name a day.
Yeah, I know. Filch rings the bell, right? Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I don't know. Slightly cheesy.
It is, but, like, it just name a day.
Yeah.
So I guess we're talking about the deleted scenes now. What other scenes from the disc? The DVD, which I might add, most.
How much was cut, though? I mean,
I can't remember what else.
Really wasn't that much, you know. Since
I remember that they were all right. Like, there's a couple that I liked, but I didn't think they would have fit in the film. I thought that the film as is was like fine. Like, they didn't need anything added to it.
Yeah,
it was good that they were cut. I thought.
Yeah, I actually liked all of those. Scenes, and it was like Goblet of Fire. Yeah. I wanted all those scenes back in, except for Goblet of Fire, there is one I don't like, but like, it was.
Yeah, I think I can guess what that one is.
Yeah, it's the one I didn't put back in.
They got that from the ABC Family version, apparently. Anyways.
Yeah, they finally extended Goblin of Fire. Sorry.
Yeah.
They did?
When they have
And it's great, every single one, except for the one that shall not
be last weekend. But.
Which one did they not add?
The mosh pit.
The rock song mosh pit.
Oh, good. Yeah, that was kind of silly.
Yeah, it's like a hypocrite.
It's like a 5 minute long.
Yeah, during the Yule Ball, the mosh pit scene. Yeah.
The song goes on forever and ever. Anyways, back to
the moving on to something else.
Back to the prince.
Yeah.
The coolest thing, though, with the Half Blood Prince, though, and seeing it in the Omnimax Theater was the scene, you know, in the very beginning with the, what were they, the Death Eaters flying through London. Like,
I loved it.
I thought I was going to fall out of my seat.
I love that opening.
But in Omnimax, you feel like you're like on a roller coaster.
It was amazing.
I feel like that opening attack, I think that is like the best adapted scene in the series so far. Like taking something from the
book. Oh, hands down, yeah.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, definitely.
I like the first chapter, but it would have been boring, I think, you know, to just have had the minister talking with.
Oh no, that was a great. You know, that scene was well
written. I love that.
It would have been good.
It's good in the book. It's good in the book.
Well, like all of the stuff that they talk about, though, like it's just briefly mentioned, but in the film we actually get to like see it, so, like
as a voiceover. Could have worked somehow, like a voiceover.
No, J.K. Rowling said about that scene in her book was that
that was a great scene
written for a long time, and it was intended for, I think it may have been even intended for like the third book.
It was fifth, she considered it.
Yeah, and so it obviously she updated it, but like it was meant to be written. Like I don't think it was really meant to be seen as it's clever because it's written. Like, but the scene that would have been wonderful scene is with Dumbledore and the Dursleys, and I did miss that.
I missed.
One of my favorite lines in the whole series is in there, and like it was not
that's
there.
That's probably the best Dursley scene in the whole series, and they ended up putting it.
I mean, I love when Dumbledore says, you know, or when Vernon says like, I don't mean to be rude, and Dumbledore says, well, sadly, accidental rudeness happens alarmingly often. You know, doesn't say nothing.
They cut most of his best lines out of the film, unfortunately.
Yeah, and one line they did cut that was in the deleted scenes that I'm glad they cut, but at the same time, I only liked that they cut it because it was delivered so poorly, was, you know, the Harry, I'm with you after the case.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm glad that was
so poorly,
cut.
But it was a great line, you know.
I think it was even so shot. Like, the shot of it, wasn't that great?
Yeah. And, like, there wasn't any music or anything, so it kind of, I don't know, didn't really, it was horrible, I thought.
I don't think they intended to use it after they saw it, but, like, The only reason why it was bad is because of its delivery. It's a great moment. It was just the scene. I mean, it was
a beautiful line.
Gambon just didn't know how to deliver.
Favorite lines in the entire series, but the performances weren't.
Gambon was pretty good this film, though. To be
cool. He was awesome.
Yeah, he was great in this film because I didn't really care for him much in the past ones, but
yeah, he's.
I don't know. I'd like to see Gambon and, or maybe Broadbent, who is excellent too.
I think
either of them would be deserving of an Oscar nomination.
Oh god, no!
I don't think that's very likely.
I agree with you, Scott. I don't think
it's very likely, but
they
don't like Harry Potter.
It's probably not likely, but in my opinion, they deserve it.
Yeah,
I don't think so at all. I think Gambon
at least a nomination, you know.
No, I don't think so at all.
Winning.
I think that if you get nominated for a seat to have the best, you know, best role, then you know your role, and he doesn't know his role. The reason why I think he was so much better this time was really because he realized that was because it was revealed that Dumbledore was gay, and he played him a lot more whimsically than he's even said so. So,
you didn't like Broadbent either?
No, well, I didn't. It's not that I didn't like Broadbent. I thought he was okay, but I hated the way that they had him directed and portrayed. I thought it was not right. So I'm one of the very few people who didn't like him, but I really didn't like him.
I'm going to speak.
He was much more quieter in Yeah, more subtle than I imagined them.
Yeah, the, I don't know, the costuming was off, but I thought the acting was fine.
Yeah,
I've always thought of him as a little bit more.
He was a little bit too gentle for me, actually.
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought, too.
A little bit too soft, yeah.
I've always pictured that for someone who's so power-hungry, like, to ride on the back of
power.
Or
bolsterous, a little more louder and bolsterous. Like, Harry, my boy, you know.
I pictured him like a car salesman, you know?
Yeah, look at, I mean, look at everyone, like, look at the other characters in the series, you know, like Snape or whatever, that isn't really like the book, but, I mean...
They're interpretations.
Yeah, and...
That's why it doesn't bother me that much.
Know, like, a lot of people have accepted it, and...
I do understand what you're saying.
Like, it kind of actually, you know, like, that is their vision now of Snape or whatever, like... I don't know.
Yeah, I just think that
actor's particular interpretation of the character.
That's
I just didn't think his character made sense the way it was played. I don't think that someone that quiet, nervous, and scared on the outside, like, because he was too much on the outside. Like, I understand that that's how he was on the inside, like, or nervous, but, like... I pictured him like a used car salesman, having ulcers on the inside and having, like, you know, an outward personality on the outside. Like, and it just, he was okay during the, like, the dinner scene or the, you know, whatever. That, that was more like him, and the rest of it was just wrong to me. He was too bumbling and old and stumbling, and, like, people like that don't get connections. Like, they just don't, you know. His character didn't make sense to me.
I didn't get that sense that he was, like, trying to, collect.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's Brodman's fault. I think that's
the
fault of
the dialogue and
not
personality. You know what I mean? Like, it was more through the dialogue that he, you know, he said how he liked to collect people's stuff.
Uh-huh.
I got that through his.
I don't know. I honestly didn't think it was really much different than the book character, other than the costuming. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't even have a problem with the costuming. I had a problem with the with his actual, like, he just didn't seem like a person who collected people. Like, I wanted him to be.
It was a great performance, though, but just not.
Yeah, it's not Broadbent's fault. I'm not, I blame Gambin for his performance. I don't blame Broadbent for his. You know?
Really emotional
performance is all his fault.
It always is. I can't stand the guy. But Broadbent, I didn't think it was his fault. I thought it was how it was written and how it was directed. Like, I thought it was quite clear that that was not, he didn't have anything to work with in that. Or at least it was tolerated, but interpreted.
His best in the confession scene. My God, he's amazing. You know?
Yeah.
That's
an emotional scene.
Yeah, that whole scene was
that
amazing.
Entire scene,
script,
like, from the Felix's on, is just like, oh my God, that's so awesome.
Especially the script in that scene is amazing.
And
about
it's
the fish and
it's
everything.
Funny up to that point,
story
too.
About
like,
the fish. I love that story.
The whole pinchers and
the pincher part.
That's part.
And the pinchers.
And there's something about the delivery, like in the exchanges between Harry or between Radcliffe and Broadbent, like before that, as they're headed to Hagrid's, that just cracks me up. I don't know. It's
Harry.
I just love that.
Oh yeah, sure.
You really got to see some of Harry's personality for once in that. Like Dan does a good job, but they don't really give him stuff.
Well, the character has a dry sense of humor, and they never had it portrayed in the movie.
Yeah, they never did. They focus on his angsty shit.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think of Radcliffe in this film?
Love him.
But
yeah, great in this movie.
I didn't like him all that much. It was, I didn't like some of the lines they gave him, but I never disliked him.
I think he's getting
getting better.
Yeah, he's getting better and better each film, I think.
But I'm a little biased because I've been kind of like in love with him since 2011, so yeah.
I think like the only thing I'm still kind of unsure of is that he can like do crime scenes, but other than that, like I think his acting is getting really good.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I heard he was spectacular though in that play he did. Like that's saying a lot. People were really ready to criticize him, so like I think that shows that there's some talent like. You know, I think that a lot of people in this film, like, are really like at the whim of the director and the writer, the screenwriter, and like, you know, there's some that are just shine through. Like Maggie Smith is just she's McGonagall. You know what I mean? I picture her in my head. Like
Maggie Smith is always excellent, though.
Yeah,
like, no matter what she's in,
and she's so amazing in here, considering her cancer.
Yeah, I know. And, She had a lot more scenes in this movie, actually, than.
Yeah.
back to the Felix Felicis scene, though, like, I don't think we discussed this too much. What did you guys think of, because, you know, they changed the story. What did you think of that fish story?
I'm sure we discussed this before on other episodes. I'm
brilliant,
sure
actually.
We discussed the fish.
I thought it was stupid when I saw it in the beginning. I thought it was stupid later.
I thought it was like beautiful. An improvement on the book, actually.
What?
I thought it was actually an improvement on the book.
I can't even read the book. It was so long ago. What happened in the book?
No, it's not in the book at all.
That was, I think...
No, an improvement on the book.
Oh, I didn't. I thought...
Corvus's best written scene, I think, of all series, I think. The whole scene was, like, his greatest hour, I think. Steve Corvus.
No, there was one line that was kind of, like, funny and, I don't know, like, overdramatic, I guess, which was, you know, where he said the bowl's going to remain
otherwise,
empty.
Otherwise, the bowl will remain empty.
It's like, well, no shit. It's, you know, it's going to remain empty no matter what.
Yeah, but it's metaphorical.
I thought that was putting the cheese on a little too strongly to me, but, like,
there were
fine.
Some cheesy.
Other than that, well, like, well, the scene is
of
just...
Of course Vince liked it, then. He's the master of cheese. We all know this.
Yeah, but J.K. Rowling is not the master of cheese, so that's the problem. You know? Like,
I don't know. I would have at one point been like, well, that wasn't in the book, but, you know, I think I agree with Scott that it was an improvement, because, like, in the book, if I remember correctly, and I haven't read it for a while, so I might be wrong, but they just, like, say how Lily was his favorite student, and they're like, she was brave, do it for her, and that just...
I read it recently, yeah. and it was more than that. It was emotional and, like, you know, it was very cleverly written, and it was and because of that, like, they couldn't really interpret it in the movie that way. Like, they couldn't put in all the thoughts that were going on in the background in Harry's head and, like, and the subtle manipulation of his speech and how they made it, and because he made it emotional while he was manipulating, which was pretty clever. But, like, you can't do that on film the same way, and I think that they just needed to figure out a way to interpret it, and I don't necessarily love the story. I think it was a nice attempt, but it got a little too over the top in the cheese category to me.
Talking about cheese, there was one moment in the whole film I cringed, and that was the last line. Why do they always have to end cringe?
Last line.
Oh. It's a beautiful place, you mean?
Oh, God. Like, the entire last scene, I was just like, do it like the book, damn it.
No, I think I even said so before. I hated that. He was like, Hogwarts is like, what do you say? It's my home. I don't know.
No. Just
I never realized this was such a beautiful place.
I never realized how beautiful this place.
It is all right.
Yeah. You knew from the very beginning.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
You're like, wow, you know?
Come on, it wasn't that bad.
I just
it was stupid. I remember even cringing at it does close to topping
like all the other cheesy endings.
Well, like it's not Hogwarts without you, Hagrid. Like, it was just as bad.
Chamber of Secrets is the worst.
What was really bad about the ending was how Ron was in the background for some reason.
Yeah, it was stupid. That was Ginny. That was why it was like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So compared to that one line is not really going
to... They should have reshot that scene when they decided to take Ginny out of it, because Ron should have been there. It made it a little too intimate between Harry and Hermione, which was weird.
Yeah, definitely. Like, Ron always gets shoved to the side. It's like, he is part of the trio. It's not Harry and Hermione and, this guy over here.
Yeah, they make Ron seem like a bumbling idiot. Well, that's the problem with who's the screenwriter?
Steve Clovis. He's in love with
Hermione. Oh, yeah, he always thinks of Ron as, like, the bumbling idiot. He gives all of his lines where he says anything intelligent to Hermione and sometimes Harry. And, like, and that's how it always has been. And
he even made Dumbledore a Harry and
Hermione
ship.
Yeah,
he turned him into a shipper of Harry and Hermione.
Well, at least he could bring...
He turned Dumbledore of all people.
Yeah, at least he could bring himself...
There's nothing going on between them, that they're just... friends, so that was good. Like, that should, I don't know, completely shoot down.
The Hermione shippers are gonna be like, oh my god!
Yeah.
And now Dumbledore ships Harry and Hermione.
You know what's really sad is that people, who, you know, now that all the books have come out and the movies have even shown it now, is that there's still people who are still dead on convinced that it's still gonna be Harry and Hermione. Like, and it's so bizarre. Like,
It's canon that it's Harry and Ron and Hermione.
Well, and people take it a step further and they ship Dan and Emma.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they do have great...
Well, people love, like, they love Hermione and Draco, too, so, you know, go figure.
Yeah, that's right.
Harry and Draco.
Yeah, I know.
They're all done.
Fan fiction.
In fact, I can't believe how much Harry Draco stuff there is. I come across it so often.
It's ridiculous. I don't understand why everyone wants Harry to be gay.
Then there's Snape and Harry and Snape and Hermione and all of
them. I'm all for a gay relationship, but I don't understand why it has to be them. Like it just doesn't make any sense. Or why so many people care.
Okay, all right.
Anyway.
While getting back to Emperor Apprentice.
Yes.
What I like most about this movie was how it finally felt like a school. You know, Hogwarts finally felt like a school. Most of the teachers got some screen time. And it's,
the classrooms were
really only in class like once.
Yeah, but it felt like school. I can't explain it.
The cinematography was gorgeous. I think that was part of what it was.
Especially that shot after the Harry and Hermione thing. That beautiful shot that pans around. We see Draco. It turns from night to day, and then we suddenly move
over. Oh, I love that one.
Harry and Ron. That's the
best
shot.
There was a lot of really unique shots in the film, and the one in the burrow when Harry first arrives.
I love that one where they're all hanging out over the whaling, and like talking.
There was just so much, I don't know, uniqueness and creativity in the cinematography in this film.
And also the scene when with Aragog in the background. It's just like they made, like, it's still the same scene. It's the same, like, you know, area that they're filming, but they filmed it so much better this time. Like, it had a magical air to it, I almost feel like it was.
Of course it had a magical air.
It hadn't in the last couple of films. Like, it was.
Aragog was in the scene. Of course it had a magical air.
Okay. The only thing I missed that was so magical was the moving staircase. I know it's not canon, but it's been every film and it wasn't in this one.
Oh, the series has
no
sound.
No, it wasn't in there at all.
I didn't even notice.
I mean, because there's a scene just before Sector Sempre, Harry goes towards it, but we don't see him on it.
Oh, interesting. You know, after playing the Harry Potter video games, like I played the 5th and the 6th one, I feel like I know that castle so well.
Absolutely.
As far as movie interpretation. It's almost like, I think that even if I think the reason why I didn't realize it wasn't in there was because I'm so used to seeing it. Like, you know, like, I knew he was standing right by it, so my head already pictured it. You know what I mean? Like,
and even looking at the game and looking at, I know in Prisoner of Azkaban, they always go to the courtyard scene, even if they're right next to the Great Hall. I'm thinking, there's another courtyard you should be going to. It's closer.
I like the fifth game was awesome. Like, it's better than even the 6th. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, but we need to be talking about the 6th more.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right, guys, come on.
I haven't played the game.
Yeah, is there any other part of the movie you think we haven't discussed?
The game.
I thought that Harry and Ginny should have kissed in the burrow when he leaned over to tie her shoelace.
That was actually a sexy.
So much better than.
If they were going to kiss at any scene, that should have been it. That was the scene where I got the feeling of the romance. You know, it was like the romance was already started. The chemistry was there. And the one where they had it, there was no chemistry because his eyes were closed. He wasn't expecting her to kiss.
It was just awkward.
It wasn't a mutual kiss. It was that other one would have been.
Yeah,
you know?
He just stands there like an idiot.
And besides, it's not supposed to be her being the aggressor, it was him. You know? In the first place. So if you're gonna reinterpret the scene, you might as well at least have it on equal footing, not her being. I like that they have her more powerful, but I'm sorry, Bonnie Wright, I like her, but I don't love her. You know?
Second Semper, you know, so.
I just wish they had done the original kiss because, like, it, the one in the room of the requirement was just awkward and it didn't fit.
Well, like, my friend who was with me said, like, she goes, what was that about? Like, are they together or what? And she already knew, like, what was going to happen because she knew that they would end up together at some point, but she was like, was that it? Like, and I'm like, well, in the movie, I'm like, well, in the books is a huge kiss. And she goes, why didn't they do that?
Yeah, they basically turned the Harry Ginny kiss from the book into the Lavender and...
The Lavender Ron kiss. Lavender and Ron got all their stuff. I mean, it's a good thing that Ron gets some screen time finally.
Yeah, they really put a lot of emphasis on lavender and ramen.
Yeah, I was just like, oh,
too much, yeah.
I didn't think they put that. Yeah. No, not compared to the book. The romance was actually toned down quite
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, but
they didn't put enough Harry and Ginny in it. It was fine that they had as much lavender and Ron, which is totally fine, but it was the Harry and Ginny that was missing. That
they completely dominated the romance.
Not only was there less lavender and Wan whatever from the book, but there was also not hardly any Harry and Ginny.
Part of that might be that in the book, a lot of that Harry Ginny stuff is a lot of it's in his head or
and a lot of it is Ginny and Dean actually, and then Harry's reaction to that.
But
they could have shown some of it, like them making out little corners, in a panic.
That was an awesome scene in the book. They should have done that.
When he catches them in the corridor,
that was a great
river,
book. I was actually hoping
that
for
that would have been good.
All of that could have replaced that stupid burrow scene. I mean, so much that they could have, I understand the cutting. I'm actually not, in Order of the Phoenix, my biggest complaints were how much they cut of stuff that I thought was important. But this one, I don't think that they, there was some things, I wish they had, but at the same time, it still was fine. But there was so many, they had that moment of time, to use it. It wouldn't have made the movie any longer, and they would have taken out a scene that was not actually there. I just think they could have used it for something else.
It's like they're stuck in this idea that all Harry Potter movies have to be fantasy action movies. They can't be, a little bit of a romantic comedy for one.
Although I did like that scene in the Three Broomsticks.
This film had a lot of romance in it, though.
The Three Broomsticks scene?
I
liked that one. It was fun.
Oh, that was a great scene.
That's just a bit throughout the book, so.
Aaron. Actually, Skinny Kid was in the movie. I saw him on the
screen. But we don't actually see him say his line. It's the problem.
No. He is there. You see him in the background. You do see him.
Oh. Okay. I want to have this sound exactly like Monty, because that script reading was just my favorite.
Legendary Skinny Kid.
Wait, what?
You know that this movie that we had the script, there were three broomsticks. And Monty was Skinny Kid. And what will we have? That's the best line.
I just thought they could have played up. The problem is that I don't know how they're going to do Deathly Hallows, but a lot of the reason why I think they needed to build up a little bit of the Harry and Ginny stuff was because she's not with them on their quest. So I thought that was a little bit of an error there on their part.
They better give an epic kiss in Deathly Hallows, otherwise I'm going to be angry.
What?
They better get an epic kiss in Deathly Hallows to make up for the shitty one they had in this one.
Yeah, I didn't know. Well, hopefully they'll have that bedroom kiss, but you know.
I think one of the things that I really liked about Half-Blood Prince, because, comedy is probably my favorite genre of film, and, this was actually a funny movie. Compared
to that.
The last ones, I do not ever remember laughing in a Harry Potter film before.
Yeah, that's why I wish they had kept the scene with the Dursleys and cut out the stupid cafe scene.
Well, there was still, there was quite a bit of
humor. At the same time, there was a balance of it, too, though. There was a balance.
Was, other than, there was, maybe a couple moments I could point out as kind of cheesy and whatever, but other than that, it was genuinely funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just think they could have added
time,
stuff.
It was dark.
Yeah, I agree. It was funny.
Yeah, there was a good mix. There was a good
balance.
The books made me laugh, you know what I mean? And in fact, I thought the sixth one was the funniest
book. Oh, yeah, all the books made me laugh, but they always cut
this
out
movie
all the, like,
is a bit bipolar, actually. It's like split between
Although,
dark,
I did laugh in the third one when Ron wakes up and goes, spiders, spiders, they want me to tap dance.
That was really funny,
but that was about it.
That was stupid, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was hysterical.
They always kind of, I don't know, there's a lot of humor in the books, and they always tend to...
They cut it out in favor of the
action.
More slapstick rather than words. And these books and movies do really well with words that are humorous. I think they underestimate their power,
Yeah, Rowling's humor is much more clever than
they could have used it in her books. They could have used it,
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, they did well with, some of the stuff they added. There was a lot of sexual innuendo in the film that was funny.
Yeah, but not enough between Ginny and Harry. Part of that is Bonnie Wright is, they both tried, I think, but the chemistry between Bonnie Wright and Daniel Radcliffe is not quite right. Mm. It almost felt like he was, with a sister or someone who was younger than him. And I know that she's supposed to be a year younger, but she felt a lot younger.
Yeah.
Well, she was cast as the younger sister, so she wasn't really cast as the love interest. So.
Well, I know, and I know that that's part of it. She was fine for what she was cast. She was one of the few of the series that didn't quite grow into her part. Neville almost grew out of his part, and they managed to get into it. You know what I mean? Like, he almost got too good looking.
Oh, cool, yeah, I know.
Poor Neville, they give him like two unnecessary lines.
Yeah, what was, they made him the waiter.
Oh yeah, I really didn't like when they said that he
Neville
was
became the waiter. All right, so he got a part-time job, big deal.
Was that part cut, or was it, did they have it in the movie where they said, he said that, that he wanted to be a waiter because it was the only way he could get into the party or something, which I thought was so stupid because that's not like Neville.
I don't think that was in the...
Neville was the only one in the movie with a job, so.
Hey, yes,
he said that he didn't make the slug club, but...
Yeah.
Wasn't there, it was in the dorm room.
No, there wasn't anything in the dorm
room. That was cut out of the final film.
Oh, no. We didn't see that, did we? That picture.
Wait, we saw that shot.
Yeah, that was cut, guys. Yeah, that was cut out of the...
Good. I'm glad they cut it. I forgot whether or not they cut it, but it was really bad. Like, it made me...
Oh, wow. So that was in the test screen?
And I didn't like it. Enough for it to stand out. I remember it really well.
Yeah, there's a picture where he was lying on his bed. I don't remember that in the film.
No.
He wasn't lying down, but he was wearing the waiter uniform in the dorm, and he was telling Harry that the reason why he was, like, he wanted to, like, I don't remember the exact line was, but it was something about how he wanted to go, but since he wasn't in the slug club, it's the only way he could go, or something. Something stupid, something that un-Neville, like, it made him far more pathetic than he was when he was already getting stronger.
The picture looked like he was laying down in a pink bed, but...
Yeah, I know, it does.
Or maybe it's red, but it kind of looks pink. Anyways.
Yeah, I know.
So.
It's like hot pink.
What that scene was.
And no one understood who didn't read them. No one understood what the bezoar was. Thing that Harry
showed. Well, you would have known if you just listened to Snape, like in our first year, you know, we talked about bezoars and.
Well, they could have done a really quick scene where they did,
with the Half-Blood Prince potion book itself, like, or the Half-Blood Prince plot. But, I mean, I don't know, I was fine with all that because. What was in the film was good, but there was some, they could have added more, but it was, I don't know.
There's a few things they could have cut and added, you know, like, other than just the Burrow scene, there's a few things that they could have, like, managed to paint, but it was well put together for what it was. It could have been bad, you know, so, like, and it wasn't. But, like, I think that there's there's always been an issue with these films about whether or not, like, people who have read it would only understand versus people who haven't. Like, they've had that problem because...
Yeah, that's always the question, yeah.
But you know, the problem with this one is that they could have... And they got really lucky. Is that people could be more critical because they did know by the time they wrote and filmed this one what was going to happen.
Well,
so.
I mean, since I know the story, like, I really don't care about that. Like, if somebody who hasn't read the books doesn't know, I don't care. Screw them. You know, read the book.
Yeah,
really.
I care about that. It's my family. I haven't read the books.
And I just wanted to make sense. Like,
yeah, but they put so much in to please the people who haven't seen it, who haven't read it, and that's the problem. Like, either stick to one or the other. Stick to the people who have read it. Stick to the people who haven't.
I actually felt like this one had a lot of nods to the fans. Like,
but the Burrow scene was a nod against the fans. I mean, against the fans. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, either do one or the other. But, you know, in the problem, there's some things I forgot which...
No, they could strike them.
It was odd. Like, there was a mix of... There were scenes that were, like, almost completely canon. Like, dialogue was even word for word at times.
Verbatim, yeah.
And then, there was stuff that was completely made up.
Well, the word for word is...
Like, you know, there was a balance between the two ideas, you know? There was the...
I liked it. It was just kind of funny how that... That mix that they had in this one.
I just think that they might have gotten themselves a little lost with the Harry and Ginny stuff for the next film. Like, I think that, like, some of it I'm looking at in terms of forward, in terms of, like, how they're going to deal with, like, they could have added in a little, even a mention of Bill and Fleur or anything, you know, but, like,
yeah, really.
Some things to set up some of this stuff so they don't have to do it in the next film because some of it will be a waste of time. And I know it's two films, but there's still a lot that needs to be in there, and I don't want them to be wasting time on stuff that we had already known by the fourth or fifth or sixth book. You know what I mean? So it could have been in the movies, and it could have been added really subtly and fast, you know?
Yeah, and they could have been doing that since, like, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Right.
I think the only scene that really I missed from the film was a Defense Against the Dark Arts class scene.
Yeah, they should have thrown that in.
Especially since, like, the title character, you know, it's the title character.
Yeah, I agree
that the
title
teaches it.
The title wasn't paid off as good, but
that was the
title
point.
Have
I heard you just from the beginning. Remember that comment?
And there's no need to call it a professor. It was such a great line. And easily done in a film.
Well, and there was two Defense Against the Dark Arts class scenes in the book, actually.
Yeah, and Ron had some good lines in one of those scenes.
They introduced the idea of infery or whatever. Like, it would have...
Yeah, it would have fit.
Oh, the infery?
Yeah, like, given some background on it or whatever.
Oh, and I love that line from Ron, too, of, like, where he says...
Yeah.
Oh,
the ghosts are
excuse me, are you the imprint of a departed soul?
Yeah.
I mean, because to... Like I said, I know I don't really, like, care if they understand or whatever, but to the audience that hadn't read the book, they wouldn't have... They would have probably just thought they were zombies, you know? Like...
Which is
it
fine,
really
actually, because they're not that important at the same time.
It doesn't...
Yeah, but it would have... I don't know, it would have been nice to...
They were showing... But that would have shown Ron to be illogical, like, not stupid. Like, the problem with him having all... And I don't have any problem with all the Ron and Lavender stuff. I thought it was fine. It was... But, like, his missing, you know, movie after movie of all... Any clever line that shows Ron for more than just, you know...
The dumb sidekick
is becoming a lot.
Anyways, yeah, Aaron, can we talk more about what was in the movie? Yeah, I feel like I'm, like, nitpicking a lot now that
I
didn't before.
I actually
like
the movie,
honestly,
guys.
Everything that was in the movie, other than, like, a couple exceptions, I thought was just, like, excellent. And I've seen, like, 25 films from this year, and this is honestly the best one I've seen this year. Like, and that's not just, like, fanboy coming through. Like, I didn't think the last two were very good at all. They were, like, average at best. Maybe a little above average, but... I mean,
I don't think it's a comparable film.
This
one
is by far the best film in the series.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, see, yeah, I don't agree with that, but I still liked it. But I still prefer the first two, but in terms of, like, the films that were more interpreted than others, like, I think it was the best of the interpreted series, you know, that weren't...
And it gives me a lot of, it reinstills faith in Yates, because, like, I don't know, after Order of the Phoenix, I was like, especially when he, you know, it was decided that he was going to finish out the series. It was like, oh, I don't know about that decision. But after seeing Half-Blood Prince, like, I have full faith in it, so.
Yeah, same here. Definitely.
And I'm glad that Cloves is back, you know.
Like, oh, I'm not. But
I hated the writer.
Well, he's better than whoever did Order of the Phoenix.
I don't actually know that's true, though. See, I've always wondered if Order of the Phoenix had not been cut down to the bone, if it would have actually been quite good. Like,
maybe.
I just felt the reason why I didn't like Order of the Phoenix so much was how choppy it was. Half-Blood Prince was not choppy in that respect at all. Like, I felt like it flowed a lot better. But
definitely,
I
the pacing was great.
In an editing room and not what the screenwriter did. You know, like, I just
actually,
have
the editing still needs some work. The whole climax is just...
I thought that the pacing in Half-Blood Prince was perfect all the way till after the burrow attack. Then it just kind of slows down to a screeching halt.
And then it has
doesn't
to work.
Pick up again until the heart summary.
Like
then it starts up again.
They're like, take the scene in the cave, for instance. Like, the infery, what, we saw them all of maybe like 10 seconds. It was just all these quick cuts, and I don't know. It was like, I wanted it to be way longer. The editing was just, it wasn't very good there, I didn't think. They didn't make good use of, like, all that expensive CGI.
Yeah,
that's the problem with, I think, these films. Sometimes I get the feeling that some of the stuff wasn't done due to budget. They didn't want to hire the people who play the Dursleys. They didn't want to hire, like, all these different people for the funeral, various things like that. And I think...
I don't think it's got anything to do with that.
Yeah, but they said it did.
They like, billions of dollars.
Yeah, but they said it did. They said they didn't want to do it for that. And that's what I can't quite figure out. It's like, they have more than enough money to deal with it. Like, I don't
understand. I just kind of imagine...
It's the best film yet, but there's still room for improvement.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I kind of imagine the people at Industrial Light and Magic that worked on that scene thinking, like, what? Like, they spent so much time and effort on that infery scene, and it was shown for just... a really brief amount of time.
Well, that's just how Harry Potter is. That's just how they do it. And I'm not blaming him. I'm fine with it.
This is how Harry Potter is.
Yep. You love
it. Yeah.
That might be down on Warner the editor.
Harry Potter just is.
Love Warner.
Okay,
Mr. Horn, we get it.
Vince, like, you're kind of, I don't know, like, prophecy. Or, like, you predicted that it was going to be this way, and it was. Like, the editing with chasing Snape, you know.
I actually liked it, though.
Oh, Flight of the Prince. You know, basically, it did exactly what you said. Like, it cut from the castle to the outside.
Yeah, but it was good, though. With the music and everything, it felt like gothic and dreamlike. It was just so perfect. I was just, like, swept up in the emotion of it, you know?
It was too quick for me.
I had a hard time. This is the first time I ever had a little of an issue with Rickman, because I love the guy. But, like, he was almost a little too soft-spoken for me. I wish he'd been a little bit more offended, because that was supposed to be part of why he got so angry.
He looks so tortured, Diane. If you look in his eyes, he looks like, oh, man, it's so powerful.
I couldn't help but think
of
the
questions. It's very subtle, yeah.
I couldn't help but think of the questions coming back from all the discussions on the thread. Like, did they go across the bridge or what? I mean.
I don't know what they did. They just, like, flew through.
Yeah, like, they just all of a sudden were outside on the grounds, and he was, like, running through the forest. And it was like, wait, how did he get over there? And
yeah, but that's what.
But you know what was fascinating?
It feel like so surreal, you know.
But I saw it when I saw it in the test screening. It was a scream.
It would be cool to see Harry like chasing Snape across the bridge, though.
It's hard to film that, like the because it's a covered bridge.
It's hard, yeah.
I remember years ago. Whenever it was, I had the Order of the Phoenix game map, and I'm drawing.
Yeah,
oh, that's run off.
Oh, yeah.
And they completely
that was
just
years ago, man.
Like,
wow.
If you go to the film and try to figure out what path they took, it's like, wait, what?
I know.
It just kind of jumps from one place to the next. Like, it goes from the tower, which we don't really even know where that. Oh, actually, we do know where that was located, but it jumps from there down to like the Great Hall, and then it's.
Well, that didn't make sense.
Guys,
how
that's
they were
not
running
really
through the Great Hall. Like, that didn't
but
make
they
any
just
sense,
took a
like,
really random. It's I don't know. It's like they took a whole tour of the castle to get from one side to the other, and it's just.
All for the cinematic effect. That's what. Yeah.
But it was cool though, because I saw the scene where he's outside with Snape that was completely unfinished, and so it was like a big, huge, like white screen, and it filmed at night with big lights on top of it.
Yeah, I think
and,
we've
like,
seen that in behind the scenes shot or something. It
oh,
looks,
have
it
you?
Looks
like,
really
was...
different.
Well, I will say that I still
see it. Yeah.
I still think that like that scene right there where Harry is dueling Snape. With Hogwarts in the background, I think that's the best shot in the movie. Like, cinematography-wise, it just...
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool when we saw that...
So epic.
Scene, like, released...
The trailer?
What do you call it?
The trailer.
Oh, yeah, I guess... Oh, it was in the trailer, right.
Yeah.
We saw a little bit of it in the trailer. And I was like, wow,
the
that
final
is such
trailer.
A cool shot.
And there was no music in the test screen either. That was part of what was hard to, you know, get the
and not so much in the film. They were playing... in Noctum, and it was, like, so gothic and dark. And
it's really hard to pick out the best shot for the film, though, because, I mean, like we said, the cinematography was amazing.
The shot behind Aragog was actually gorgeous, where they're standing up on that hall, on that hill, I mean, and they're, like...
So you know, was Aragog. He was gorgeous.
No, but the shot behind him was. It was a beautiful shot. Most of the film was shot beautifully. It was.
I'm laughing at Vince saying that
Aragog
was
gorgeous.
You know.
Have we talked enough about the film yet? I mean, we must have gone at least an hour now by now. Do we want to move on to kind of looking back at our journey, or are we sick and tired of doing that?
At the journey of awaiting.
Our journey or their journey? What?
Like.
Out.
Yeah, like,
ow.
Our journey of awaiting the prince, remember?
Yes, like,
I never awaited it, so I don't know.
Time. How many, what was it, 2 years?
Wow.
Yeah, it's coming
two
up.
2 years, actually, for me.
It was that
2 years.
There was parts that seemed like it dragged by so fast, or, I mean, so slowly, like, when we were waiting for that first trailer.
That was
amazing. Oh, man, that was
God. And we just,
that was horrible.
We're like, oh, it's gonna come
every
out with
month,
this.
Every
no,
month
it's passing
by,
and
that's another trailer.
Yeah,
every month it's passing by. It was,
when was that, August?
It was April. It was
then,
May.
Right,
yeah, it came
that,
out in August, and then they were like, oh, hey, by the way, we're delaying it.
Yeah, and then right after that, it's like, they delay the film, and it, oh my god.
And then the test screening happened on September 8th or so. Yeah. So,
and
like,
we meet you. Yeah.
And then it was almost a slap in the face to a lot of people.
Test screening, which is, let's see, oh, it was just before that, actually, we had done our first episode. But I think, like, doing this podcast really helps speed things up in terms of the way, like,
absolutely.
I don't know. Just because it gave us something to do.
It also made life a lot more stressful for Aaron, right?
Absolutely. I'm so going to be so happy.
Poor guy. Do you miss Aaron? Do you miss working on that list?
On the list? Oh, God. I hated working on that list. Hello, is everyone there?
Talk about that a few minutes.
Yeah, sorry I kind of abandoned you there with that, Aaron. Like, I was... I just kind of stopped helping at all.
If it was hard doing it by myself, it was probably going to be even harder with two people, to be honest. Because we have...
You think so?
Yeah, because we'd have to...
Oh, because we had always that... Yeah, we were always, like, arguing and trying to get it...
Yeah, oh, God, I remember that. All those arguments.
Oh, God, those were terrible fights.
Well, we each had our own idea of how to put it together or whatever, like how to format and stuff.
Yeah, and then it's to keep on giving it back to each other, and sometimes it didn't work out because we misformatted
it. You got, like, really...
And different versions of the file, and it was like...
I guess
that's
I guess so
that, though. Both of you were so possessive over it. It's like, it's mine now. No, it's mine. Mine. No, I created it. No, it's mine.
Vince, it was always yours.
Vince created it.
Sometimes
yeah, it
kill you, Vince, because it was so hard.
We just
I kind of put.
I don't know. I just like to think of
I'm sorry for putting this burden on you.
It's all my fault.
At least no one dissed you on IMDb like they did me.
Well,
I got dissed on many websites.
Myself, actually.
What?
I dissed myself on that, actually.
Yeah.
Any
reaction?
What a loser. What a loser that,
actually, I got a couple of nice comments I noticed, just a little while ago here. Somebody, actually thought that the podcast was good and that we were, more in the most informed, so.
Well, we were.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then someone else commented on the list they thought was great.
It was great. Gave you so much of a headache.
Yeah. Well, somebody else is carrying it on now for the next one.
Thank
and
you.
They're doing a pretty good job, too. So.
Thanks to you guys, the list became a masterpiece. I mean, seriously.
Well,
I can't believe that we actually, like, I mean, we got it featured on MuggleNet. Like, they.
I know.
It was so cool.
You're just a bunch of nerds. that's the end of it.
Like, I know with their podcast and everything, they're kind of
I wonder how the other guys are handling
rivals, you know, but, like, that's
their
cool
list.
It's just, like, what, the biggest Harry Potter site, probably, the biggest fan site, or is Leaky bigger?
We inspired other people to actually follow, you know, and create their own list for Deathly Hallows.
We actually is more adult, and
inspired
is more...
a whole new generation of...
Well, no, somebody just wanted to continue it because, like,
if you guys said, no more.
God. We are done with the list making.
Oh, and, yeah, the same person that,
we're done with the list, and...
On IMDb there, that, had those kind comments or whatever, they were wanting to know if we were doing a, well, they said Hollows Watch.
No.
We joked in the past about doing a Death Watch, but thought that was a little too morbid of a title.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
The answer,
guys. That's cool.
Give the answer right now. No, we are not doing a podcast for Deathly Hallows.
And if we do, I'm killing myself. No.
Just don't kill yourself, Aaron. That would be
awesome. Yeah, I'm going to.
Stop right after you do, and then Scott will probably follow.
Yeah, sorry, but we're not going to continue with the next one. Yeah, the only reason that we were, like, the most informed, as you guys would say, some of you say, is because we got really obsessive with this film.
Because we have
no...
We every single day of my
yeah,
life.
Every day we were checking the news and
what a sad life we had.
Yeah, oh my
but
god.
There was, you know, a lot of stuff that we knew about that the major sites didn't. I don't know if it was just because they ignored it because it was all leaked.
It's
because
we had Rachel. Go Rachel.
Well, and also like the script.
A lot of it was because I saw the whole thing, and I relayed most of it to you guys.
Right, but like all those script leaks, it was like they. I don't know if they ignored it or whatever. They talked.
No, they thought it was unethical. Like they wouldn't. Sites wouldn't allow them to be posted. They were removed from like their forums, which is an understandable thing.
If you listen to the podcast, they clearly seem to have not read them or something.
Oh, no, they did read them at some point because I remember I was listening to a podcast from a few weeks ago or something. They were like, they're embarrassing from the script. And I'm thinking, oh, you did read it after all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they read it. They said something about it on their forums about how they were, the reason why they wouldn't allow them was because it was not an official script leak. And they like, they didn't want, I don't know what the deal was, but there was something, it made sense. Like, I could understand them keeping their
editor. There was also a lot of times that they speculated about things that just like, it was like, well, obviously you did not read the script, otherwise you would have known that.
I wrote my review, though, for them. It was not for MuggleNet, it was for them. Like, the only reason why I found TOS was because, I had done a search on my name because I was just curious on my screen name. And I was just curious to see, and I found
how
your
vain.
You found these,
me, so that's why.
People in the thread there talking about you, and guess who they are right now?
Yeah.
Most people would find that creepy.
Wait, what?
We were discussing.
Most people would find that creepy.
Well, what was it? Was it you and me that went over and signed up?
Yeah.
Leaky.
Yeah, it was.
Obsessively asking, oh, you already had an account? I think I actually did too, but I just never looked there.
The reason why I did the search. Because you guys said that you guys were talking about it on COS, and I didn't know where that was. Like, I didn't realize it was a part of MuggleNet.
Right.
And so, I got another email from a Bulgarian website that was asking for my full name, which I only gave them so I could see my full name in Bulgarian. That was the only reason why I wanted to give them my name. And, like, because they were talking about you, and that's why I got curious to know, like, which sites had posted the actual, like, review that I wrote. And so that was the only reason why I did. But COS came up, like, right under Licky Cauldron on Google search. That was why I did it. I was just curious.
Another thing that I was really happy about was when we did the interview with you and this foreign site translated it. And I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was so cool. Yeah.
Which site was it?
I can't remember.
Like, wow.
Yeah, there was some site that like translated the whole interview.
It wasn't the whole.
Oh, it did? I didn't know that.
Not very well.
Not very well, yeah.
Yeah.
Not it was partly
very
out.
Well at all. They got a lot of things wrong. They were saying all these weird things and stuff.
How do you know, though?
We translated.
Do you think that's the translation?
Well, I just came upon it, or Aaron did, or something. One of us did. I don't know. It was some foreign Harry Potter site. It was like a blog or something, I think, or maybe it was like a live journal.
It was an actual foreign Harry Potter site.
Oh yeah.
Well, a lot of them, like, linked to each other. Like, a lot of them were linking to, like, the review. They were linking to, like, various, like, other reviews. Like, that's what I was looking into. I was just curious.
Well, and then the list was also other places, too. Like, I think it was on HP Wiki or something. Like,
It was
a very early version of the
they
list.
They need to update it because it's way out.
Yeah. I remember that.
They probably removed it by now.
Probably.
Like, all our stuff was showing up everywhere on the web. That was pretty cool.
especially
we were famous for, like, a few months there.
And the other thing...
Well, it was good that, like, we get a lot wider exposure that way because probably not that many people listen to the podcast. Like,
yeah, exactly.
If you do listen, thank you.
Yeah, we thank you, those five people that are listening.
Yes. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, our listener, I'm sure... Well, I don't know. I didn't check the stats or whatever.
Stats are confusing.
You didn't check the stats?
Well, after a while, I remember...
You were the stats king, man.
Didn't... we weren't allowed to, or it didn't let us keep stats anymore or something for free.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Feature, anyway. But I, what I was about to say was that I'm sure our listener total or whatever, like, really dropped after the interview with Rachel.
Well, I had about like 100, I was getting about 100, like, what are they called? Private messages on,
100, really?
Yeah.
100?
Wow. I got about 100 the first day, and I got about, like, 75 or so for a week. And, like,
wow.
That's why yours, the fact that I answered your, like, I tried to get through some of them, but some of them I just, like, when people started asking me, like,
well, I think
ridiculous questions, like, I just deleted it. But, like,
were they asking, like, what color? Here, what's down here?
What are we gonna talk about here?
So people were sending me messages asking about the littlest tiny details about, like, you know, the little nuances between Hermione and Ron, and they wanted every single detail, like the little looks, the little glances, the little, like, and all. And I was just, you know, and I was just like, you know, I can't describe it, you know, like, how much am I supposed to keep in my head? There's others that got upset that I didn't say in detail enough about, like someone. I think at one point I got a message from COS saying, like, that I was not talking about the politics of the movie enough.
Oh, whimsy.
Oh, God.
Was whimsy, personal politics.
But it wasn't just whimsy. Yeah. It was, like, there was, like, other people who were saying that I got that, because then I signed up at COS and I got, like, less messages there because I was actually talking on their forums more, but, like, on Leaky's, I got messages all the way up until the movie came out, But the highest amount were, like, that first 2 weeks, and, like, and then asking, like, every single detail. And then there were several from other websites, like, from, like, foreign websites asking if they could interview me, but their English was so bad that I could barely understand what they were writing. I'm like,
wow. So we were,
say yes. No, you guys were supposed to say yes to. So, like,
We were, like, actually,
when I came home that day, yeah, go ahead.
We were actually wanting you on episode 2, I remember.
Right, that's right. Yeah. It was my idea to get Rach on the show.
I think it was Scott that managed to do it, though.
Did I? I don't remember.
Really? It was Scott? No, wasn't
it? I think we had, like...
No, it was me, remember?
No,
was it?
Yeah, it was. I think it was Vince.
Yeah. It was. Well, I didn't have Skype. And
then you guys got married.
Yeah, that's the little note effect.
So I said no the first.
Doesn't mean that literally.
No.
Okay. So
I have a hair on there.
Like, you know.
You know what?
How were you feeling actually during that whole interview, Rach? Like, what was going through your mind and everything?
I was, like, nervous that I was going to, like, say, like, too much, like I am right now. But seriously, I was. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, like, well, you know, it's one thing to write a review because you can edit it and, like, make yourself sound a lot more, you know, you can make yourself sound any way you want. But, like,
thank God for that.
I know I sound young, and I know I got a couple of letters from people from who had heard it and said, like, God, you sound so much younger than I thought. Like, well, I'm still 29, you know, I'm 28, or 28 at the time. So, you know what I mean? But, like,
I was just like, I was impressed with how much you remembered for only one viewing. Like,
I know for sure
that I would not be able to remember that much just from seeing a movie once, like that all those details.
I watched that movie. I can tell you what was going through my head while I watched it, other than the people who were annoying the crap out of me, you know, who were talking. But, like, from the moment it started, I remember thinking, like, I have to remember what I was making mental notes of, like, this has to be written down. Like, this has to be. I didn't write it down.
You were gonna come back and, like, write a review or whatever?
I knew I would. Like,
about the details?
In fact, when I left this movie, like, one of the reasons why I didn't hang around, I didn't even know there was an interview, but, like, they were asking people to go back for something, and I didn't even realize that the directors were there. But, like, I left so fast because I was trying not to forget what I saw. And the only time I let myself break from that was on the way to the car. I was in the parking lot by myself. It's an underground parking lot. And I was, like, singing, I saw Harry Potter. Ha, 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 ha.
I killed Sirius Black.
I think the first time that I saw it, it was kind of a blur. Like, I mean, it seemed to go by. I mean, I took it all in, but it went by really fast. And, like, I couldn't remember a whole lot after.
The first time, I was just like, oh, there's chapter one, there's chapter two, there's that new scene.
Like, I'm still
glad that
was
the best experience
I've
seen that the first time. That was amazing.
Like, we all got our wish, you know, it was over 2.5 hours.
You were also, I saw it far more cold than you guys did. Like, you guys were already interested in finding out more about it. When I realized I could see it, I wasn't, like, I was keeping up a little bit with the news, but not that much. So it helped, in fact, that it wasn't already, like, I didn't have much of an idea of what I was going to be seeing. So, like, other than, like, the storyline itself. So keeping it in my head wasn't hard because I wasn't having all these conflicting ideas. Like, oh, I thought it would be this way. Like, I knew what I knew. I knew the book so well that I knew what had been changed. And I was making notes of that just because it was just, that's how I am. Like, but the, because I love the book so much. And that's what stuck with me. But, like,
I
other
think
than that,
it
I didn't
us.
Know what to expect. You know what I mean? So.
You know one scene that really surprised me in the movie that I don't think we had really had any information about, and I don't remember you saying anything about it either.
The skin conversation.
Yeah, the skin conversation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that was a great scene.
I thought it
was kind of, it was awkward, kind of, but it was, like, funny. And
what was it?
The scene in the dormitory between Harry and Ron, when Harry's looking at the map, and then Ron's like, what does Deaton see in Ginny? And Harry's like, oh, it's her skin.
She has great skin.
Oh, I forgot. You know, that's what
and
I
you know
mean.
He was thinking more
I totally
than
took out... Well, I totally took out things that were more, well, I considered important. So, like, there was, like, times where I literally, like, almost put a tick in my head of, like, okay, this, remember this, because this is something that people want to know. But, like, littler things like that, like, unless it really struck me, like, I didn't quite capture. And
well,
helped when I came right
home. Nobody mentioned it. We didn't see any mention of anywhere in anything, like.
It wasn't,
and then there's also just people talking.
It was
so
the same for Harry using the, darkness powder on the train.
Oh,
I was
right.
Surprised by that. I was shocked by that. I was like, wow, yes, you used the train. I didn't know if
that was going to happen. I actually had forgotten about it. Like, it's not something that I didn't remember.
I'm glad that, like, at least, because they had I knew from the script leak that they had that line or that bit in the,
Joke shop, right?
Where,
I was expecting that to be cut, but when I saw
I thought that was just going to end up like a throwaway line or whatever, and then it actually kind of had a little bit of importance, I guess.
Well, remember, I was actually focused on the fact that it wasn't Tonks, Cat, you know, like, to me, like, the first thing I noticed was, oh,
yeah,
it's
that
Luna.
Was fine.
And so that's what stuck in my head.
But, like, I still, I don't know, of course I would have rather that he used the darkness powder, like, at the end there in the little, when the Death Eaters break in, but...
I didn't really like that.
At least he used that at all.
At least, yeah, at least he used it.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like,
So those scenes.
You know, it's a dark powder, and then, well, it never shows up again in the movie, and, okay, what was the point of that?
Yeah. Those scenes that were there we didn't have a clue about, they were so refreshing. I mean, we're here thinking, oh, we know everything, we're going to see it for the first time, but seeing.
That's actually, like, a lot of the movie. I mean, there was. Most of it we knew little bits and pieces of.
Yeah.
It wasn't entirely fresh, I think, other than
certain
maybe, like,
details scenes. Really surprised me, like certain, like, little tiny
but really we hadn't
subtleties, like the way Tonks and Lupin
Well, and everybody was saying from all the trailers, because, I mean, oh my god, how many trailers was there, like 7 or 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Just probably any film has had, because it just, I don't know.
Like 15,
that was obviously because of the delay, too. They had to keep the anticipation up and everything, and the excitement.
Yeah,
with the
2 years, they had to keep it up.
Well, yeah. I think I remember telling you that there were certain scenes. Like, I tried to describe the stair scene, but I couldn't really do it. But I also had said there's a few other scenes there that, like, and I was clear about, like, that they're great, but I cannot, they're not describable, and I haven't even gone into them. They're not like, crucial to, like, necessarily knowing the story.
Yeah, they're so visual, right?
But... they were visual, they were also extra, they were little nuances, they were good or they weren't, but either way that they were there and
everyone was freaking out that, like, cause there were so many trailers and all the clips and behind the scenes footage and everything, they're like, god, we've seen the whole movie or whatever, and it's like, no, we've maybe seen like 10% of it at most.
Someone said that to me, they said, well, why did you describe the whole movie to everyone? And I said, well, first of all, I gave a spoiler warning, but this is for people who wanted it, but like,
But
I didn't describe the whole thing. Like, I can't possibly keep it.
Even when I watched it, like, the scenes I'd seen, you know, that had been featured in, like, almost just about every trailer, like the one in the library or
the scene
in the dorm room, like, it was still, I don't know, I still found it interesting in the film. It wasn't like I was thinking, okay, let's get on with it. I've seen this 10, you know, 20, whatever, however many times before.
At those scenes, I was able to relax. Every other scene, I was like, oh, it's new.
Hyperventilating.
So I found that
overall,
was good.
Overall, though, knowing so much helped me, I think, in the end, you know, to just accept it.
It helped me get used to the idea of changes.
It helped.
I was able to accept changes
all the changes and the cuts
easily with this film than any of the previous ones.
Yeah.
It helped me a lot that I hadn't been reading it. Like, I read Order of the Phoenix right before I watched it, and which made it really bad for me. But, like, with this one, I had been reading, and this is because I had no warning about going. I knew the night before, you know. But I had been reading a totally different – I was reading His Dark Materials, which is, like fantasy, but sound is another scope. So, like, even though I knew all – I could probably have repeated the whole book by heart, it was still, like, you know, I still was not – it wasn't as fresh in my head. So when they cut certain things, I was aware of it, but I wasn't quite as aware of what I was of. Like, I wasn't in like, oh, I wish they hadn't done that. Like, it was more like, oh yeah, they didn't have that. That's fine. Move on. You know.
Like, so, yes, like, I remember that post that you made on the thread. I don't remember exactly what all you said, but you were like taking the perspective of somebody who didn't like know any of the spoilers or whatever that would be going into the movie and
just thinking,
like at everything that was like different, like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they would be like completely angry and surprised.
I would have probably been flipping out if I didn't know like all the information about like what was changed and what was cut. And,
yeah.
I have to say going in there without,
at least the first time around.
Yeah. Going in there without reading the book, like in the past month or so is the best way to do it. In my mind,
every time I've avoided
the book.
Order the Phoenix, having
yeah,
read
so
the
do
book
not read
or
book.
And seven. Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, but what would you do for Stephen? Would you read till halfway and then go in?
Yeah, I know. Oh yeah, that's true. I never thought about that. That's funny.
Oh, but
well, you know, her books are genius. They're just pure genius, and there's been nothing, at least in this is my opinion, but I think a lot of people share it, is that. There's nothing that has ever compared to that. I've been searching for another series or even a book that I can read that I would be like, wow, thank God it fills my Harry Potter hole a little bit. Nothing has. So like, you can't, and a movie can't either. Like, you know, even if it was done as perfectly possible, as close to as possible to the book, it would never quite be it. So like.
Of course not, which is why it doesn't really bother me.
You don't want to read them right beforehand because nothing can compare to that genius. It's just nothing.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know if we're getting ready to wrap up here.
I think we should soon.
Can we talk a little bit about Deathly Hallows? Like, I think there's a chance that one could maybe top the book just because it, like, it's going to be so cinematic, like the source material, when you put that on film, like everything is just going to enhance the source material.
Just before we get there, I just want to, I've been trying to load the stats for ages, just the small amount of stats I can get.
I think they had over 1,000 listeners when we did the interview.
I think that was a bit contrived because it was so hard to download from that site. Today, it says we have 35 downloads, and I actually cannot believe that.
How is that? We don't even have it up yet.
For which episode?
For all the previous episodes, we have 35 downloads.
From just today?
From just today. 300
in the past
month. That's awesome.
300 in the past month?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's
maybe since a DVD just came out or something?
Maybe. I don't know. But people seem to still be interested in us, and I can't believe it. So thank you for listening.
Thank you all for still listening after all these years.
Yeah, boy. Really.
Years?
Months.
It's been a year and a
half. It felt like years.
You know, they all have a crush on Aaron because of his accent.
Sure.
Yeah. They think that they're really hearing Harry Potter talk. Most Americans can't tell that you're from New Zealand.
From some European country.
No, they think you're from. They think you're as English as Daniel Radcliffe is, man.
Yeah, I know. Those crazy bank deals is crazy.
He's not a Londoner.
It makes people think we have an inside track to have Aaron. You know, like, oh, he's from England.
We have Dan Radcliffe on our.
We have Alan Horn, basically.
Well, yeah, there's been that joke that I'm a bit like Alan Horn. Well, anyway, we were going to talk about Deathly Hallows. And I must say that preview was just amazing. I didn't really want to get too into it because I didn't want to be sucked up like I was with Half-Blood Prince, but it was just amazing.
Yes.
Because then it will become Death Watch.
No.
No, we're not going to do that. Do not tease the audience for it.
Yeah, no. This isn't introing into
Scott, I can't hear you.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Huh?
I can't hear you.
Oh, my microphone keeps falling down. It, yeah.
Yeah, you see, we're so technical on these shows. Our microphones keep on falling down.
Yeah. They would keep dropping and everything.
Yeah.
You know, we're eating while we're talking to you guys.
Yeah, this is
such a low budget. I've got a headset and the microphone, like, the thing's loose now, so it keeps falling down.
I must say, the thing I'm most happiest about, the fact we didn't spend a cent to make this podcast. Spent nothing.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
yeah. Exactly. It was completely free.
No, I was accused of voting for John McCain, so I guess I kind of lost something there on IMDb.
They love you, Rachel. Under all that, they just love you now.
What? I was accused of being what? Like, yeah. And then they also accused me of being Sue, which I don't have a problem with Sue from Pottercast, which I actually don't – I'm a little offended with, but I guess they intended it to be, which is weird. So – but
Sue's a Hufflepuff. She's cool.
She's awesome. I think she's great. She was the one I talked to when I was writing the views. She was actually
Hufflepuff, right, Aaron? Come on, man.
Yeah.
She's a Hufflepuff.
I'm listening to this podcast again. Which is
we
a miracle.
We also got a really nasty, was it an email though, Aaron? Somebody sent us a really nasty one. It was just like,
I remember that. That damaged my self-esteem and made me cry.
Yeah, we can't really repeat any of it because it's
so nasty.
We'd have to edit it all.
I wept so hard, my feelings were crushed. I wanted to.
I basically deleted that straight away. Well, after sharing it with you, I deleted it. It was so petty.
Oh boy!
I don't even remember this.
Good.
It's like okay, we are not. If you dislike it, fine, but I mean, we haven't been doing it near as long as, you know, the other, like, the major podcasts or anything.
And plus,
it's not like you're, you know, we're just doing it for fun, like.
Yeah. And
we're not trying to, I've seen, yes. you know, we're not pitching that work.
Well, the other podcasts are getting paid. They have sponsors, you know? Like, they announce them, so, but, I had a whole page of regular fans
who got together one day and.
Yeah, I mean, go back and listen to some of the, you know, like first MuggleCast ever. I've done that, and you know, I don't think they honestly were any better than us starting out.
But
we are proof that any fan can
do what they want start. And get heaps of headaches and want to die. Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
All the labor of love. You know, you love your fandom.
I gotta say that the fandom is amazing. I just, you know, well, you guys have all, you know, getting into Deathly Hallows or whatever. You guys have seen the claymation, right?
No.
A little bit.
YouTube? A little bit.
Oh my god, it's like a four, it's seriously, it is like 4.5 hours long, and it's the entire movie as a claymation. And it's just incredible. And then there's another guy that does like these, Sims trailers and videos of like, the whole, like, scenes from the book in Harry Potter Sims.
I've seen that, and I make videos that are the using, with the permission of the artist, using a fan art.
Yeah,
and, like,
fan art.
I got, like, 300 subscribers recently. Like one of my, the Harry and Ginny video I made, which I thought was going to be the cheesiest of them all, has over 120,000 views or something like that. Like,
Jeez.
But, and same with the Deathly Hallows one, like.
Stop with the cheesiness, God.
No, but
yeah, you were cheesy girl.
The world is
so many Harry and Ginny videos out there, you know? So like, but I think it's amazing how many there are and how, like, I love the art that's come out of it. Like, I think the reason why I made it and the reason why I contacted those artists, I thought, like, some of their stuff was unbelievably incredible. And, like, it wouldn't have happened without, like, you know, like, I wouldn't have met you guys. Like, a lot of this wouldn't have happened without it. So I think it's a great, like, the fandom is incredible when it comes to Harry Potter. Like, yeah, there's been little wars and little, you know, but
it's
at the same time,
it.
It's been a lot of friendships.
Especially about the movies.
Well, we have to thank Joe for, you know, letting it all.
Yeah, you got to wonder.
You know, other than she restricts, you know, some of the rights for like books and things, but like she could, you know, restrict all like fan
fiction video, and all that other stuff. And she allows it,
and everything, like, and, you know, she allows it all. So
without her, what the heck would we be doing now? To be honest.
Yeah, really.
Definitely we wouldn't have met each other.
No.
Well, and I meet people through it all otherwise too. Like, a neighbor moved in next door that I probably wouldn't talk to, and he just said, he said, Happy Thanksgiving. He goes, are you going anywhere? And I said, no. He's like, oh, I'm from Orlando, so I'm going there. And I said, oh, are
I
you
never thought
Harry Potter
I would
World?
Know someone from New Zealand.
Well, he goes, are you going to Harry Potter World? He goes, no, do you love Harry Potter?
Yeah. Scott, if we had met you, would have still thought New Zealand was next to Japan.
What was that?
Kiwi is not only a fruit, but it's also a bird and a group of people.
What was that, Aaron?
You used to think that New Zealand was next to Japan.
Oh, did I? I don't remember.
That is the best thing I've heard all day.
If I hadn't met you, Scott.
I think it was near Australia, actually.
I would have never heard that,
but it wasn't Asia. Yeah. It's amazing.
Geography is not my best subject.
Obviously.
Obviously.
I'm a math and science guy.
But still, like, I've even learned stuff. I've even learned off by heart the American time zones.
Well, I learned that in you know, in Australia, I mean, New Zealand and I assume Australia, that the daylight savings goes backwards, you know, we leap
she
ahead,
that
you know.
Today,
and I learned that just today. And I learned from The Simpsons that, you know, our toilets flush the other way, but, you know, same difference.
I don't know.
But, like, and I, you know, anyway, and that, you know, Aaron here is enjoying his summertime, which is kind of annoying to me since I'm in 20 below right now. Like,
oh God, next year's gonna suck if it's like that in Chicago.
Well, it's a wind chill, but it's bad enough because the wind is coming right through my closed windows. So.
What I learned most of all was that no matter how obsessed you think you are, there will always be someone out there who's even more.
Probably in New Zealand.
I'm trying to hold back on the obsessiveness.
I discovered that just a little while ago, apparently my college has a Harry Potter club.
Join!
Didn't know that. Yeah, I don't know about that.
The college I went to has a Harry Potter class. They didn't have it when I was there, though. It's too bad.
And I'll find out next year when I'm going to.
That'd be funny if I joined and, like, they actually knew of, like, our podcast or something.
Oh, Scott.
I don't think that's...
It would be the king, man. You'd be, like, the master of the club. Or
I'd be, like, a celebrity.
Yeah, I know. Hey, it's baseball dude.
When I was waiting in line to get, you know, like, when A Deathly Hallows came out, like, you know, earlier in the day, most bookstores, like, you had to go and get your ticket, like, in advance, you know what I mean, so you could get your book later. So I was waiting in that super long line, and so we were having, like, you know, all these strangers were, you know, near me, where we were all just talking and, like, speculating, you know, and I thought Mr. Weasley would become prime minister, you know, we all had these, like, ideas, and then where the locket was and all that other stuff. Anyway, so, so, like, this girl who was, like, next to me, we were talking a lot, and we were getting along really well, and, like, we were just talking, and so, like, half an hour later, we finally get to the end of the line, and they call our, you know, we had to say our names, and she goes, yeah, my name's Shelley Rosenthal, and I was like, wait a minute, we shared a bunk at overnight camp for 4 weeks, like,
oh, so,
like, funny, like, we didn't even recognize, you know, we didn't recognize each other at all, but we were friends, and
were
so,
any of us, geeky enough to, or nerdy enough, whatever, to dress up for the midnight release.
I would have if I didn't have to work before.
No, but I felt underdressed.
I was Hermione for Halloween.
I don't have any Harry Potter.
Oh, neither do I.
No, but my nanny dress.
Maybe if I had one, I would. Maybe probably. If I was like with somebody else who was wearing it, maybe I would. But no, I just wore my t-shirt.
No, no one dressed up for the premiere of this film.
No.
No.
But I was there at the premiere.
At, oh, yes, at the actual premiere, the real premiere at New York.
Oh,
yep.
Really?
I was there. Oh.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I saw Emma, Rupert, Tom Felton's head, Bonnie Wright. I got a glimpse of her, and someone else, I forgot. But it wasn't really that great. I mean, there was, like, so many people there, and you could barely see anybody, and... Like, you know, all you do is stand there, like, all day, and your legs are gonna, like, collapse, you know. That's not really that great, since you're, like, all the way across the street from them, you know, so you gotta really have, like, a zoom-in camera or something to see anything.
My favorite fan moment, though, was when I was, I went to the, like, what was it, Termin, what was it called? It was one of the, you know, the conventions that they had in Chicago, I forgot what it's called. It's Term and something. Anyway, but the, and I was actually going home and I was waiting. My mom was actually nearby, so she said she'd come and pick me up. So I'm standing there looking out into like Grant Park, which is like, huge in Chicago, like right by like, and, all of a sudden I see only from the back these people who are dressed perfectly in, a father and son dressed in the Draco and Lucius outfit. And they were like, and
that's
Draco,
awesome.
And Lucius had his arm around his arm around Draco, and they're walking right into the park, and I was just like, God, it looks like they're walking into like the manor, like, you know, grounds, like, and it was just such a moment, like, and they look so much like the characters from behind, you know, I can't explain it, it was just like, oh, there's Draco and Lucius, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyway.
So, what is everyone's, like, plans from, I don't know, like, from now on, whatever, like, cause, I mean, I declared that, you know, I wasn't going to get as wrapped up in Deathly Hallows.
You're the most wrapped up out of
I think I'm kind of,
You really are, Scott.
Front.
Like, I've been diving really.
I'm still posting quite a bit. Not as much as I did for Half-Blood Prince, but I'm still.
I'm kind of teetering on the fence right now.
Today when, I mean, Misha came back today, and so, like, I've been replying to all her posts.
Yeah, that's right. I know. She came back, and she.
Where did Misha been?
And now, like, the thread is alive again, and there's, like, all this back and forth, because it was dead. And
why didn't she
always starts up all, like, the debates and the arguments and everything with Misha. You notice that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always great.
I agree with her on most everything except for a couple things. I mean, like, the graveyard scene with
Polyjuice.
Like, I do not agree with that. I really want to see Dan and Emma.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're doing that. They are doing that because you've seen.
The scene looks. I don't care what she says, but I think that one shot that we got of it looks so beautiful.
And the final battle. Oh, I do not like the sound of the duel between that final duel, showdown.
Wasn't it by the strip phone?
Possibly was it up phone
that told that guy from Harry Potter Forum. The scoop.
Yeah, scoop.
Yeah, well, but we also heard something.
Scoop lives.
Don't say anything. I don't want to hear anything. This is what I'm like now. Nothing. Cold turkey. Even
I actually haven't heard anything about it. I don't want to know. Like I keep my expectations really low. So as far as I'm concerned, they're gonna have Hermione kill Voldemort because, like, you know, Rose loves her, right?
Opus is writing it.
Close. Whatever.
Well, this is it, guys. This is. The last run. This is the final phase of Harry Potter. I mean, this is it.
I think this. I hope at least that this last film is going to be epic. Like it should be.
I hope so. The last one. You mean?
I always thought maybe that'll be more epic.
Well, it's
out next year. It's called Lego Harry Potter Years 1-4.
I still think of it as one film. It's just split into two parts. It's really going to be. You know, it's like one long four and a half, five, however long it's going to be.
But Yates said that part two will be the epic one, and part
there's still a lot of action in part one. I mean,
yeah, but it's not like
I don't understand the complaints of people that are saying there's not enough action.
I know.
There is more action in the first half of that book.
Part one is more intimate. Part one is more intimate. You know what I mean? Part two is more on a grand scale, concerns everybody. Part one is mostly just about the trio, you know, on the run.
But I still think there's more action in the first half of the book than any of the previous ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, yeah. My God.
So that's going to be our big highlight for the next couple of years. But if everyone's like me, they're not going to get too tangled up. Like, I'm not going to.
Right, Aaron. Come on.
I'm glad you're on that, Aaron. I have other things.
Come on, Aaron. You're going to be upset.
I'm not going to be involved with a list in a podcast this time, at least. So, I mean, I may be posting a lot on the forum, but
I'm not doing any podcast. I'm not.
Well, if I manage to sneak into the test screening, I'll let you know. But I don't think I will be. It will be in Chicago. I just have to know when it is. You know?
You will probably be interviewed by.
Maybe get tickets from a friend or something. Like,
yeah, but that I don't think that's gonna work. But it always is in Chicago. I know how to get in. Like, it's just an issue of like knowing when it is. Like,
uh-oh.
I can calculate perhaps. But when are they? I don't even know when they're done filming. If anyone will let me know, I can try.
June.
May or June.
June. So it probably will be a test screening in September then.
That's what they normally do.
Well, when's the movie coming out?
November.
November 19th.
Oh, so it will be in September.
Yeah.
So then I can probably do it, because I'll just call every weekend.
What are
the chances of another delay?
The problem is I'll probably get into test screenings that have nothing to do with Harry Potter, and that will annoy me.
Original plans were to, kind of take a break from the forum and just follow the news.
Yeah, that was my plan, too, but that's
fine. Like each day, you know, just the check maybe once on the main news sites.
Yeah, right.
But the thing is, you miss a lot that way, because, especially with script leaks and stuff, which, by the way, I think I've heard that Phoenix123, the guy that has given us scripts for the last couple films, he will be leaking scripts for Deathly Hallows, but it's not going to be until, July, I think, is what I heard.
Most of the fun, though, comes from the gossip on the forums. So I think that's where most of the fun
is. But, I mean, some of that information, and the speculation, just you don't get that with the news sites. And I'm glad that someone's continuing this, because I can just...
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Look at that, too.
Yeah. It wasn't even our idea. If they win a hit or not, we were not doing a DH list. So
who's continuing the list?
It's Dicarious, Ninth Wonder. KJ Riddle started off. About if he's doing it anymore.
I mean, I was just reading the list the other day, and I can tell that I haven't been quite as
KJ Riddle followed in my footsteps.
Because they're half the things on that list I had not even heard of, so I haven't been following the news enough.
last week I was looking at the thread, and Dicarious had posted a little bit from the list, and even that little bit I had no clue about, but I suppose it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too involved.
Yeah.
They're carrying on our spirit, I guess.
Look what you started, Vince.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, that can be our outro music.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening, and it's really been such a ride and quite a journey.
For reals.
Yes.
Thank you. From us and from...
and from Scott.
Yeah, and from Scott. And from also everyone else has ever been on the show before. Scott, I'm sure. Okay. Bye, us. Thank you.
Bye.
And also from everyone else that's been on the show, Monty, Misha, Christine, Jackie, and Dylan, from those five as well, just thank you for listening, and I hope you really enjoyed our shows. And, yeah, you won't see us or hear from us on a podcast again, so...
No, but look
never
for...
Never say never. But
our post on the forums, look for.
Yeah. If you ever need to talk to us, we're on the COS forums, all of us.
There might be a Kiwi, what did you call it, the Scottish book? You know, a Kiwi podcast possible.
No, I'm curious how, whoever does listen to this, I'm kind of curious how it breaks down, how many are actually members of the forum.
How many people are our friends?
Probably most of them are, yeah, probably.
Well, no, because there's quite a few on IMDb, apparently, and...
Really?
I don't know.
I
sent many people that your way when they were writing to me. I'm like, well, just listen to the interview. It's easier. yeah.
Anyways.
So...
Adios.
Bye.
Take care, everyone. Have a good holiday, if you celebrate. Happy New Year.
Happy Hanukkah to Chloe. Big dog.
And
happy birthday, Chloe. Chloe is our silent partner here.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Hollows year.
Okay, that's us.
It's not coming.
Goodbye.
Bye.
It's over.